Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah is discussing the issue of halal. Now, with regards to a halal or a halala, we're going to see in the Gemara, it's going to be obvious in the Mishnah, we've already said this, that a halal or a halala is generated from an Iser Kehuna. If there's something wrong in the relationship that relates particularly to a Kohen, that is what produces a halal or a halala. That's number one. In that situation or any scenario like that, there are three parties. There's the Kohen himself, there is the woman, and the child that is born from that relationship. As far as the Kohen himself, he does not become a halal, at least permanently. He becomes a halal during the period of time that he's married to this woman, in that he's not allowed to serve and do avodah. He is os Kohen as long as he's married to this woman. If he divorces the woman, and he has to do it b'neder b'rabim, he has to do it in a manner where we know he's not going back to this woman, in that case, he's no longer a halal. So that's number one. Number two is the woman. The woman who he has bi'ah with, she is changed or turned into a halala now. Because there was a problem in this marriage, the bi'ah with this woman generates a halala, which the Gemara will search for a source for in today's daf. And then she remains a halala permanently. So now, children born of this problematic relationship that involves an Iser Kuna, the children born of that relationship are halalim. Now, for the male, that has impact because he is a Kohen halal, which means that he's basically a Kohen without any being a Kohen. He loses all sense of Kedusha, and he's a Kohen halal. For the daughter, that has no real impact, meaning that she's not considered to be a bat kohen for that perspective of being a halala, but in terms of restrictions, a woman doesn't have the restrictions that a man has, or she wouldn't have been a kohen anyway. She's a kohenet or a bat kohen. The real restriction that derives from that is that she will not be able to marry a kohen. So the daughter that is born of this marriage, she can't eat from the truma of her father's house. But the main impact that it has on her is the fact that she cannot marry a Kohen. Our Mishnah is now going to discuss those children that are born of this relationship. What happens if they then marry non-Halalim? Meaning that this Kohen Halal marries a Bat Yisrael, which he's permitted to do, and the Bat Yisrael is permitted to do. They now have a permitted marriage. The offspring of that marriage, what is their status? Number one. The other way around, too. This daughter that was born of this problematic marriage, that daughter that's considered to be a halala, if she marries a Yisrael, what happens to the offspring? That's what the Mishnah is addressing here, which is bat halal, zachar, psula min hakuna, is problematic lekuhuna leolam, forever, which the Gemara will address or ask, why does it say here leolam? But in essence, what is being said here is as long as there is a continuation of the male lineage over here, the males that are born one after the next will all be halalim. They will always remain at that problematic nature of a halal. But that also has implications for the children of these individuals, which is that this individual who has children, both his son, who will continue to be a halal, and his daughter that is born is a bat halal zachar. She's a daughter of someone who is a halal, and therefore she is psula likuhuna. The one thing that you will infer from here, which the Mishnah will get to in a second, is that there is a difference then in the next generation. So that if you have a male that was born from a Kohanic illicit relationship, who is a halal, and then he has children, he has a daughter and a son, both of them have the status of halalim. But once they have children, there will be a difference. The male has children, his children will remain halalim. On the other hand, the daughter that has children, there will be a difference there. Bat bito, the daughter, meaning that the granddaughter through his daughter will be kshera. She will be totally fine to marry a kohen because she's no different than a bat halal mechalala. It's the same way that the daughter from a halala is also kshera. So too, in this instance, they will also be kshera, and we'll see in a sec, the Gemara will address, or we'll see in the Gemara what's the status of the son is that born, but basically, the children born of this woman do not have the problem of halal. And so what you have here is a din that changes depending on the gender of the individual. So that's the first statement of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, Israel shenasa chalala, a Israel that marries a chalala. This could even be a daughter born to a kohen and a grusha. She's a chalala. She marries Israel, bitok sheira dekuna. The daughter born of this marriage is sheira dekuna. Or in essence, what the Gemara will say is that Israelim are a mikveh tara lechalalim. Male Israel is a mikveh tara to the chalalim. And there are those that ask, in essence, what you have here is what the Mishnah told us in the last perek, which is that when you have a marriage that is a kosher marriage, then the yichus follows the father. Over here you have Israel marrying a chalala, which is a totally permitted marriage. The chalala is only restricted to a kohen. Marrying the Israel is perfectly fine. So now you have a good marriage. The yichus will follow the father. The father here is a Israel kasher. Therefore, the children born of this marriage will be ksherim. So that is something you could have otherwise said. Obviously, there are havaminot over here to say otherwise, which is why the Mishnah has to tell you something that seemingly follows the principles that we established before. Now, chalal shenasa bat Yisrael. On the other hand, if the male born of a illicit relationship between a kohen hejot and a grusha, so that child is a kohen chalal, if he marries a bat Yisrael, bito psula lekuna. The daughter remains psula lekuna, which is in essence, don't say the same in reverse. We'll see in the Gemara there is a Tana with that position, but the Mishnah says over here, we don't say in reverse, which is that bat Yisrael are a mikveh tara for kohanim chalalim. So over here again, you have a marriage that's perfectly mutar. A kohen chalal can marry a bat Yisrael. So you have a perfectly good marriage, and what that means is that the yichus will follow the father. So once again, the father who is a kohen chalal, his yichus will be passed, in essence, to the children, and they will be chalalim. So now, the other thing you have to know in the Mishnah is that this second statement is identical to the first statement in the Mishnah. The first statement of the Mishnah says, when you're on the male side, it doesn't clear up. And this also says that when you have the male side be a chalal, it doesn't clear up. The Gemara will ask, why does the Mishnah repeat the statement? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now we jump to a new area, and that is the area of Gerim. Over here, there's a three-way machloket in our Mishnah. In tomorrow's daf, the Gemara will add a fourth shita. The fourth shita we've already seen in the Gemara, and that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that as long as the Gioret converted under the age of 3 years in one day, then she is Ksheira Lekihuna. Since she converted before Bia was relevant for her, so therefore, once she grows up, she is Ksheira Lekihuna. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion. Over here, we have three opinions, besides Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bat Ger Zachar, Kebat Chalal Zachar. Rabbi Yehuda basically equates the Ger to the Chalal, which means that the daughter of a male who is a ger, his daughter will be problematic, the kihuna, the same way that a kohen halal's daughter is problematic, the kihuna. So he says, anything that is born of a ger who is a male convert, the children of the male convert can't marry kohenim. And obviously by the males it doesn't matter, it's the female side that matters, and she cannot marry a kohen. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Israel shenasa gioret bitok sheira lekihuna. If you have a Israel that marries a gioret, which is a perfectly good marriage, bitok sheira lekihuna. The child born of that marriage is fine. V'ger shenasa bat Israel. And the same is true in the opposite, which is a ger that marries a bat Israel, bitok sheira lekihuna. So what Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says in essence is, as long as one of the two parties is a Israel, meaning whether it's the male or the female in the marriage, that is a Israel, then the child born of that marriage is totally fine, likihuna. Echad ger ve'echad avadim ha-mishuchrarim, whether the person is a ger or an eved who was freed, which in essence is a convert, because when he becomes an eved knani, he does a partial conversion. When he's freed, he becomes a fully converted Jew. Afilu adyud dorot, until 10 generations, atid he'imo mi-Israel, that they have the status of a ger, or an eved mishuchrar, until his mother is a Israelite. And for Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, that means also, if his father happens to be in Israel, that will work as well. Because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, if the father is in Israel, that the child that is born of that marriage does not have a status of a ger any longer, and the daughter that's born to them is mutar de kuna. So Rabbi Yehuda equates it to the case of halal, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says, if there is a male ger involved, problematic. Rabbi Yelezer ben Yaakov says, as long as one of the two parties is a Israel or Israelite, we are fine. So then we have Rabbi Yossi Omer, Av gersh nasag yoret bitok shera lekiuna. Rabbi Yossi, who we do paskin like the halacha, whether it's lechatkil or b'diavad, will be determined in tomorrow's daf. Rabbi Yossi says, even if you have two converts married, the child born of these converts, assuming that it's horatobik leidatobik dusha, that the baby's born as a Jew after they convert, then the baby can marry a Kohen. There's no problem at all. So Rabbi Yossi is mekil in the fact that the individuals who are gerim, who marry between themselves, the product of their marriage, if they are Jewish once they are married, is totally fine the kuna. And I said before, Rabbi Shimon Yochai goes one step further and says, even the giorit herself can be ksheira the kuna, as long as she converted under the age of 3 years and 1 day. So over here we have the status of a giorit. Rabbi Yehuda, in tomorrow's daf, will explain why he thinks there is an equivalence drawn between a ger and a halal. He will learn it out from both a kav chomer and a tzadah shaveh memetzinu, which the Gemara has difficulty getting through. And when it finally gets there, it is precarious. And for that reason, that's what Rashi notes over here. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who argues on him, basically says, I don't accept that limud of Rabbi Yehuda, because it's difficult. And he points out the difficulties here. It's not as relevant until we see it in tomorrow's daf as to what those difficulties are. But that leads to the difference in opinion, which also stems from the pasuk in Yechezkel, which says that, kim bitulot mizera beit Yisrael, that they have to have a zera beit Yisrael. And their argument is, what is considered to be zera beit Yisrael? Does zera beit Yisrael mean that one of the parents is Israelite? Does that mean both of the parents have to be Israelim? Or does it mean that neither parents have to be Israelim? They just have to give birth, b'kedusha, and that's called Zera Beit Yisrael. That machloket about how to explain in the Pesach and Yechezkel leads to the difference in opinions over here. So my, the Olam, why does the Mishnah say that it's forever? Madu de Tema, I would have thought, midi de hava mitzri ve'edomi. I would have thought it's similar to a mitzri ve'edi. Malala nachar shlosha dorot. So to, just like by mitzri and edomi, after 3 generations, the Isser expires. Avkanami l'achash l'shod derot. So too over here, by halal, you would have thought that the problem might expire after 3 generations. Now the truth is, that's a funny havamina to say, okay, it'll expire after 3 generations, like a mitzri and domi. But we're going to see in the next limudim in the Gemara, that the Torah emphasizes the individual, vizaro, and his offspring. That the Torah speaks about the halal impacting on the individual themselves and the next generation, implying that maybe the 3rd generation would be okay. So therefore, the limud itself of where halal comes from opens up that possibility that you could say that it's only emphasizing zaro, implying that zaro, the 3rd generation would be okay. And that's why you might consider making it like a mitzri and edomi, kamash malan, that we do not say that. Yisrael shenasa halala. Israel that marries a chalala. Menahane mile. How do you know that this is true? That in Israel that marries a chalala, that bitok sheira de kehuna. Where does that come from? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, or I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Ishmael, is the way that it's quoted in the Shiltot. Nemarkan. It says here, Velo yichalel zaro be'amav. The individual, it's written by the Kohen Gadol, who has a requirement to marry certain women. This is all in the beginning of Parshat Emor. And in describing the women that he has to marry, it says if he doesn't, meaning if he marries the wrong woman, then he's going to have this problem, which is, Almana grusha v'chalala zona et eile lo yikach, ki im betula me'amav yikach isha, v'lo yichalel zaro be'amav, ki Hashem mekadisho. So there, lo yichalel zaro be'amav implies that if he does marry these women, he will profane his zera. His offspring will be profaned, or they will be chalalim. And we'll see that the Gemara draws a parallel, we'll see later on today's daf, between Kohen Hejot and Kohen Gadol, that they have the same din. It also says, at the beginning of the parasha, with regards to Tumah, it actually says this twice. The Gemara is quoting the 2nd time in this din of Tumah. But it says, Vayom HaShem HaMoshe, Mor LaKohenim Bnei Aaron, V'amarta Lehem, L'nefesh, lo yitama be'amav. Then it gives you the exceptions to the rule. And then afterwards it says, lo yitama ba'al be'amav be'heichalo. He should not become tamei, because if he becomes tamei, he is profaned from his ki'una. So now what the Gemara does is has a gzeirah shava in essence, which is be'amav to be'amav. Just like there is chilul by the amav of tuma, so too there is chilul by the amav of the incorrect or improper marriage. Malahalan zecharim. By tuma, we know that the parshiyah of tuma only applies to male kohanim, because it says, emor lakohanim, b'nei Aharon. B'nei Aharon are mitzuvim on tuma, b'not Aharon are not mitzuvot al tuma. So it's just like lo yitama ba'al bi'amav only applies to the males, v'lo nekevot. Afkan, so to over here, lo yichalel zaro bi'amav will only apply to the zecharim and not to the nekevot. Which means that only male offspring will have a problem of chalal, not female offspring. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, v'al me'ato, bito shel kohen gadol tishtare. A kohen gadol marries an almana, the child that is born that is a zachar should be problematic, should be a chalal. The girl, the female that is born, should be totally fine. Miktiv bino. It does not say in the pasuk that lo yichalel bino be'amav. It says lo yichalel zaro, zaro ktiv. Lo yichalel zaro be'amav. There, because of that, every zera, all of his offspring are problematic. It means male and female. So Gemara says, bat bino tishtare. If that's the case, the daughter of his son should be muteret, meaning that you have the kohen gadol who marries the almana, the son that is born is a chalal, that son now has children, the daughter of that son should be muteret, because it only passes to males, it doesn't pass to females. And we said zaro, which is referring to the kohen's zera, there it says the word zaro, which means all of his offspring are problematic. But by the next generation, it should only apply to the males, not to the females. Div lo yichalel zaro. The problem is, it says lo yichalel zaro, and the way Rashi says is, ha'av vazera huskuru b'tei vazo. This word, zaro, includes both the father and the child. Mekish zaro lo. The offspring are just like him. Mahu bito psula. Af beno bito psula. Just like the Kohen Gadol's daughter is asura, so too, the child of the Kohen Gadol to the Amanah, also his daughter will be Psula. So now, what we have here so far, according to the Gemara of the Limudim, is the Kohen Gadol who marries the Amanah, all of his children are problematic because it says Zaro. So both the male and the female child are problematic. Chalalim, and they may not marry a Kohen. The son who has children, we just said now, whether it's a male or a female, they're also Chalalim and may not marry a Kohen because Mekish zero lo, because his zera is just like him, just like the Kohen Gadol to the Almanah produces chalalim no matter what the gender is. So to his son, no matter what the gender is, will produce chalalim. Bat pito titzar. So now let's go to the other side. What about his granddaughter through his daughter? She should also be restricted, because what you're saying now is zero lo. The offspring are just like him. So his daughter should be no different than him. Just like the Kohen Gadol to the Amanah produces Zera, meaning male or female, are Chalalim. So too his Zaro, his daughter, should produce, whether she produces a daughter or a male, should not be Chalalim. Im kein, Gezer Shava, Mahanile. Because at that point, what does the Gezer Shava do for you? The Gezer Shava says, male yes, female no. Where do you have application of that din of a male yes and a female no, unless you have somewhere where the female is muteret? And so what the Gemara concludes is, the instance where the female is muteret is when you have bat bito. When the daughter of a chalal has another daughter, that second generation daughter will then be muteret, meaning that she will be allowed to marry a kohen. So now, that's the explanation of this din. As far as the kohen gadol to amanah, all of his offspring are chalalim. His male offspring will also, once they have children, all of those children will be chalalim, because mikish zaro lo. The daughter, who is a chalala, when she marries a Yisrael, there'll be a difference in her children because of this din, which is the gzeirah shava, that the female children will then be cleared or Mikvat Ara, because she married a Yisrael, those daughters will be mutarot to marry to the Kohanim, will not be chalolot, whereas her son, who is an Yisrael, and so chalolot is not relevant because a Yisrael can't be a chalal. It's only a Kohen who can be a chalal. The female side that matters, and she cannot marry a Kohen. Alright, so now the Gemara says, chalal shenasa bat Yisrael bito psula. A chalal that marries a Yisraelite, the daughter that is born is psula. We just saw that in the Gemara explaining that the zera of the Kohen Gadol has the same din as him, which means all genders are considered to be chalalim. Ha tanale reisha. Didn't the Mishnah just say this? The Mishnah in the third statement is repeating the first statement. Bat chalal zachar psula mina kuna leolam. It says, I did the tani reisha Yisrael shenasa chalala. Tani nami seifa chalal shenasa bat Yisrael. That is a parallel structure within the Mishnah, because the Mishnah made the statement, in the second statement, that Israel that marries a chalala bitok shera, the kuna, it just reversed the statement. It says, but a chalal that marries a bat Israel, she is psula the kuna, even though it's a repetition of the first statement of the Mishnah. But the opening statement of the Mishnah is giving you a principle, which is, bat chalal zachar psula, that only because she is born to a male offspring of the chalal, is that why she is considered to be problematic. The implications for that are, if she was born to a female, to a chalala, that problem would not exist, which is the second statement. So the first statement of the Mishnah gives you the principle, and then the next two statements are basically giving you the details of that principle. One is what is said by the principle, the other one is what the diuk of the principle is, but it lays it out for you in a parallel structured manner. Now, as I mentioned in the Mishnah, matnitin delok Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda, the Tanya. Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda omer k'shem shebnei Yisrael mikveh tara lechalolot. Just like when you have a chalala that marries Israel, the offspring are fine. Kach benot Yisrael mikveh tara lechalalim. So too, in the reverse, if a chalal marries a bat Israel, the offspring are also okay. That's not like our Mishnah. He's saying that it works in either direction. Doesn't matter if the male or the female is the chalal or the Israel. In either way, where you have a marriage that does not involve two chalalim, the offspring will be fine. My time at the Rabbi Ustai, Rabbi Yehuda, what's his limud? Amar Kra, lo yichalel zaro be'amav. It says there, lo yichalel zaro be'amav, be'am echad hu d'meichal, b'shnei amamim enu meichal. It's only when they are of the same ilk does it cause a problem. If they are of a different yichus, then it's not problematic. So only when you have a chalal marrying a chalala, where you have an offspring that is a chalal, because then it's be'amav. They are similar in nature. But if you have shnei amamim, which is that they derive from different areas of yichus, one is a chalal or chalala, the other one is a Yisrael or Yisraelite, that matchup will not create a continuation of the problem of chalal, because they are shnei amamim instead of am echad. Tan Rabbanan. Lo yichalel zaro, ein li ela zaro, hi atzma minayin. So going back to our introduction to the Mishnah, we said that the offspring born of this illicit Kohanic marriage is a chalal, but we said it also makes the woman who was involved in this into a chalala for permanently. Hi atzma minayin. Where do you know that from? Amart, kal v'chomer. It is a kal v'chomer. Mazaro shlo avara veira mitchalel. The offspring, which are chalalim, even though they did nothing wrong, they did absolutely nothing wrong, yet they are still considered to be chalalim, he, shavra veira, enudin shemit chalalet. She who actually engaged in an illicit relationship, certainly she should have the status of a chalala. And even though you could disprove this kal v'chomer from a mamzer, where the child born of that illicit relationship is a mamzer, but the mother does not gain a status of a mamzeret. So the Bnei Yeshua suggests that here the Gemara is dealing within the world of kuhuna and psulei kuhuna, and therefore wants to stay very parochial and not deal with isurim that are outside the world of kuhuna, which has its own rules. So now Gemara says, who else may yochiach? The Kohen himself will prove to you that that logic does not hold. Shavar aveira, he violated aveira, vein mitchalel, and yet he does not become a chalal. So, how can you prove to me, just because someone did an Aveira, does not automatically mean that they will be Mechulalim? So how can you say, just because the offspring are Chalalim, Therefore, the ones who perpetrated the Aveira are, of course, Chalalim. That's not true of the Kohen. It's only true of the woman. So then you can't say the Kal V'chomer holds. If the Kal V'chomer held, it would say that the Kohen himself also should be problematic. The fact that he's going to get a status of Chalal shows you that this Kal V'chomer is not working. So now Gemara says, Malahu shekein ein mitchalel b'chol makom. He who never can become a Chalal in any case, Tamar behi she mitchalelet b'chol makom. You're going to say about her that she does become mitchalelet b'chol makom, meaning the Kohen himself can't be turned into Chalal no matter what. No matter who he engages with or marries, he himself will never turn in permanently into a Chalal. Again, when he's married to the woman, he has a suspension, which doesn't allow him to act as a Kohen during that period of time, but he himself will never be a Chalal. On the other hand, you can have a woman can become Sula, Likuna, even without ever touching the issue of Chalal, which is a Zona, a Grusha. All of these women are problematic, the Kohanim. Nothing to do with the fact that they were involved with a Chalal. Or, if a woman has a relationship, whether that's consensual or not consensual, it doesn't really matter. She has Bi'ah with someone who is Pasul, that makes her Psula, the Kuna. We saw that Braita just before, that a woman who has Bi'ah with an Amoni, a Moavi, a Mamzer, anybody who is restricted makes her into or gives her the status of a zonah. She can no longer marry a kohen. So a woman can become disqualified in other places, nothing to do with the issue of chalal. And that we learn out from bat kohen ki tia leish zar kevan shenivala lepsul la pasla. That if she has bia with someone who's pasul to her, she becomes psula. So what you see here is that maybe there's no equivalence that you can draw between the man and the woman or the kohen and the woman. That is because the Kohen never becomes a Chalal. So to invoke the Kal V'chomer over here for the Kohen doesn't make so much sense because he never has a status of Chalal. The woman who does have a status of quote-unquote Chalala, even independent of a Kohen, meaning that if she becomes a Zona or she can be restriction from marrying a Kohen for whatever reasons, that happens independent of this whole scenario of the Kohen marrying her. Can happen just because she was Nivala, the Psula. So maybe for her, to become a Chalala is quote-unquote easier, and therefore the Kal V'chomer should have application for her. V'im nafshecha lomar, if you want to say that you don't like that answer, then Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, lo yichalel zaro. Right, that's what we just learned, the Pasuk verse, that he may not profane his zera. Read this, lo yichalel zesheya kacher v'nit chalal. Lo yichalel means it should not be profaned. The word profane, by definition, means that there was something kadosh, something that was holy, and you profaned it. You changed its status from being holy to not holy. So now, that's what the Gemara says. This is lo yichalel zaro. Now, even though the Ikar Pasuk here is speaking about the offspring, and the offspring is clearly mechulal, because they are kohanim, chalalim, or a chalala. From the product, the offspring of this marriage produces chalalim. Nevertheless, that's not the real word or usage of the word chalal. The word chalal means to profane, which means something that was kadosh, and then its status was changed. As far as the offspring are concerned, from the moment they're born, they are chalalim. They are never kadosh. They were chalalim from the moment of birth. On the other hand, who is someone that was once kadosh and then loses that status? That is the woman. And that's what the pasuk tells you, that the limud from the pasuk is, if you're looking for chilul, you're looking for something to be profaned, the only party here that can be profaned is the woman. Because her status changes from being before permitted to marry a kohen to afterwards being a chalala, where she's not permitted to marry the kohen. And that is the chilul that took place over here. Ma'im nafshechalomar. So what was the problem with the first answer that we gave? It says, im nafshechalomar. If you're not satisfied with the first answer, let's go to the second answer. V'cheita ima ikal mifrach. If you want to say we can break up the Kal V'chomer in this way. Malazaro shekein yitzira to be'avera. Wait a minute. The Kal V'chomer is not so straightforward, and this answers your question about Mamzer, which is that the offspring also have a chumrah to them. So you have the chumrah of the parents is that they violated, they did the avera. The offspring don't have that. On the other hand, the offspring have something that does not apply to the parents, which is the offspring's creation was be'avera. The parents were ksherim. They were totally fine. They were not created bi'aveira. So maybe you can't make a Kal V'chomer, but this Kal V'chomer is problematic for exactly this reason. And again, we'll see more of this in tomorrow's daf, which is that each side has a chumrah. The parents have a tzad chumrah, which is they're the violators. They're the ones who are doing the avera. The offspring have a chumrah, which is that their creation was in avera. From the moment they're born out of avera. The parents were born ksherim. So that might be a chumrah that makes the offspring problematic that doesn't apply to the parents. So therefore, maybe you would say the kav chumrah is not applicable. Amar kra, that's why we brought the pasuk to say, even if we don't darshan the kav chumrah, we have a pasuk that says, lo yichalel, lo yichulal, zesha yakasher, venit chalal. That means lo yichulal, you should not profane something in the passive form. It should not become profaned, indicating that they were kadosh and then profaned. That only applies to somebody who was once kasher and then profaned, and that's only applicable by the woman, not applicable by the offspring. Tan Rabbanan, Ezohi Chalala. What is the definition of a Chalala? How is a Chalala produced? Kol Shnolda Min Apsulim. Any offspring that is born from something that is Pasul. Or it says, my Psulim. What exactly are you talking about here, Psulim? Ilei Ma Psulim Lo. Anything that is Pasul to him. Haray. Magzir grushato to psulalo ubanak sherim. You have a case here where if a person takes back his divorced wife, the divorced wife who goes and marries another party, if after that he takes her back, there's a restriction. One may not be magzir grushato after they have married another party, but the offspring of that marriage are sherim, totally fine. Dichtiv toivahi, she is an abomination. He toivav ein banat toavim. She has the status of being a toiva, but the children do not. The children are completely ksherim. That can't be the definition of a chalala, because it doesn't apply. Anytime you marry somebody who is pasul or psula, does not create a chalala or an offspring that's problematic. Here you have children that are totally fine, even though the marriage was problematic. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Achikamar. Ezohi chalala. What is a chalala? Koshnul damim psul kihuna. This is what we said in the introduction to the Mishnah. A chalala is a derivative of a restriction that applies only to Kohanim. It has to be a Kohanic restriction. That restriction, if it is violated, produces a chalala. Noda in, lo noda lo. Wait a minute. Is it only if they are born from this? But if they're not born from it, it's not. Vare amana ugrusha, zona, delo noda. Wait a minute. A woman whose status is that of a widow, or a divorcee, or a zona, she is kavya chalala, and she was not born of an illicit marriage, illicit Kohanic marriage. She had nothing to do with the Kohen whatsoever. She was married to Israel, and then got divorced from the Israel. That made her into a chalala, despite the fact that she never gave birth or was born from this illicit relationship. So Amar Rabba, Hakikamar. Ezo chalala hamuskeret shelo yala shata kosher klal. What is the chalala that is mentioned? Muskeret here means the one that the pasuk is speaking about without any drashot chachamim. I mean, the pashut pshat of the pasuk is the child or the children born of these relationships will be chalalim. And that's what he's saying. What is the classic case of chalala that is what the pasuk is speaking about? Lo yichalel zaro be'amav. They never had any point in time where they were ksherim. That is anything that is born of a Kohanic restriction. My muskeret. What does it mean that it was mentioned? That's what I just explained to you. That is the pashtut of the pasuk mina Torah. And you don't need this additional explanation, midivrei sofrim, which is the fact that she becomes a chalala when she's engaged in these relationships, even though she never had a child or never was born. She simply got married to a kohen when she was a grusha, chalala, uzona. That makes her status into a chalala, despite the fact that she never gave birth or was born from this illicit relationship. That we learn out from lo yichalel zaro. The word chilul teaches us that the woman is also problematic, but that's a drasha. So what it means is, what is the pashtut pasuk? What's the classic case of chalala that the pasuk is talking about in the simplest form? Kol shnoda mipsulei kunai. That is a child born of an illicit relationship to a kohen. Tarabanan. Now we have a braita, which is somewhat cryptic, and then the Gemara will come back and discuss each part of it. Almana, 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 enu chayav el achat. Seemingly, if he violates the Isur of marrying an Almanah three times, the Kohen Gadol, he only is Chayav once. Grusha, Grusha, Grusha. Same thing for a Kohen Hejolt. If he violates marrying a Grusha three times, Enu Chayav Elachat, he's only Chayav once. Almanah, Ugrusha, Bichalala, Zuna. If a woman has all of these statuses, Bezvan Shem could say there, if she entered in each one of these levels or changes in status in this order, Almanah, Grusha, Chalala, Zuna, Chayav al kol achat v'achat. Then a Kohen who engages with this woman, or really it'd have to be a Kohen Gadol here because of Almanah, engages with this woman, they will be Chayav four times for that. Zinta v'nit chalala v'nit gasha v'nit armala. On the other hand, if it was in reverse, she first was a Zona, then she was nit chalala, then she was divorced, and then nit armala, inu Chayav al achat. You only Chayav one. That's the end of the Braita. The Gemara right away is going to start discussing Amamar. What is going on in this Braita? Almanah, 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 Enu Chayav Elachat. Violates three times, the Kohen Gadol violates having Bi'ah with an Almanah. He's only Chayav once. Hay Almanah, Eichi Dami. What exactly is the scenario over here? If you tell me that he had Bi'ah with the widow of Reuven, the widow of Shimon, the widow of Levi, am I enu chayav elachat? Why is he chayav only once? These are three separate women. These are three separate Yisurim. Varei gufim mechulakim. You have three separate entities. Here the bar uses the term bodies, but it means literally there are three different people that he violated the Yisur with. Harei shemot mechulakim, as Tosva notes that this is superfluous. You don't need shemot mechulakim. You don't need them to have different names, that it's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi's widow. You simply need that there are different people. There are three different individuals over here. That's three different violations, your chayav, on each one of them. There's no question. Ella, shebal amana achat, shalosh biot. So what's the scenario here? That he had bial with the same amana three times. Hey, chidami. What's exactly the scenario? Idolo atribe, if they did not warn him, pshita, they know chayav alachat. They told him, don't sleep with the amana. They sleeps with it three times. He's only get malkot once, because they warned him once. They warn him, don't sleep, don't sleep, don't sleep. Each time they warn him, then why is he only chayav once? He should be chayav on each violation. That's none. It's a Mishnah. Nazir shaya shute yayin kol yom kulo. You have a Nazir who's drinking wine all day long. If they warned him once, then he gets one violation of drinking wine. Amrulo al tishte, al tishte. They keep warning him, don't drink, and he continues to drink. Then he's chayav on each one of them. So this case should be no different than that. Depends on how they warned him, whether he'll be chayav one or be chayav multiple times. So what is this Braita speaking about? Lutricha, here's the case. Shebaal menat Reuven, shaital menat Shimon, shaital menat Levi. It's one woman married three times. She got married the first time, her husband Reuven passed away. Married the second time to Shimon, her husband passed away. Married to Levi, her husband passed away. She is a widow three times over, but it's the same woman. I would have thought over here you have different names. Now this truthfully is not Shemot Mechulakim, the classic sense. In the Gemara, usually Shemot Mechulakim means that you have different Isurim. Three different Isurim. It's the same woman with three different Isurim. Over here, it's the same woman with the same Isur. But the Shemot Mechulakim is that she's made an Almanah by three different husbands. So you would have thought, therefore, there is a din that he should be chayav for each one of those shemot of almanah. Kamash malan, gufim mechulakim be'inan veleka. Only if they're separate entities, separate women, will there be a separate isur. If it's one woman who is an almanah over and over and over again, she's still just an almanah. She was an almanah before, she's an almanah afterwards. If he has bi'ah with her, he's in violation of being together with an almanah. No matter the fact that she now made an almanah three times, she's still just an almanah, and he's only chayav once for that bi'ah. So now, almanah, grusha, v'chalala, zona. Hi Tana, Micah Sabar. What is this Tana thinking? Again, we dealt with the issue of almanah, 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 and the same is true by grusha, grusha, grusha. Just Almanah applies to a Kohen Gadol, Grusha applies to a Kohen Hejot. And here we made distinctions that if you have separate women, it's a separate Isur. If you have separate violations, then it depends on whether you're warned or not. If it's one woman who was married three times and widowed three times, or married three times and divorced three times, there's only one Isur on that woman. If you have Bi'ah with her, for every Bi'ah, it might be different, but that one Bi'ah that you have with her is one restriction. Then the Braita went on to say that if you have an almanah, grusha, chalav, zonah, one woman carries all four of these names, then you're chayav al kol achat v'achat, as long as it's done to say there. As long as she entered in these situations in this order. So, hi Tana, my kasavar. What does this Tana hold? Ikasavar, isur chalal isur. If you think that one isur can be chal on another isur, ibchanami, why does the order make any difference? Why do we care if she was first a almanah versus if she was first a zonah? The order should make no difference because you can add isurim. So as long as she added on the new isur, it should be relevant. V'i kasavar, ein isur chalal isur, if he believes that one isur can't be piled on top of another isur, afilukas seder azen amilo, then even if it's in this order, you should not be able to add on additional isurim. Here we're about to deal with the issue of what's called isur chalal isur. That if you're ready, something's already prohibited for whatever reason, can you add on another prohibition on top of it? So the basic premise is ein isur chalal isur. We don't allow one prohibition to stack on top of another prohibition. There are exceptions to that rule. One of which is bevat achat. If both isurim come at the simultaneously, then they can both be chal on the item because of that. The other thing, which is what Shaul is hinting to, is what's called isur mosif. If it's an isur that adds something on, there are deot, these are all machlokot in the Tanaim, as to which one of these allows isur chalal isur to apply, and when does it not apply. So everybody agrees seemingly that bevat achad it works. There are those that say that if it's an isur mosif, then it also works. What's an isur mosif? So if you look in the Tosafot Riya Zaken, he does a good job explaining it. He says that it's isur mosif hu shenosaf isur b'chaticha. The object itself now became more asur. It makes it asura in something that was otherwise muteret before this time period. Or it adds on additional individuals who are now asur to this object. Isur mosif focuses on the object itself and says, if the object now has more isurin than it had before, for instance, if it had maybe Isra Achila before, and now you add on Isra Hana'a, there are Rishonim that call that an Isra Mosif, because now the Isra is more than it was before. The object itself is now more Asur than it was before. Or, if the object was Asur to one person, and then now it becomes Asur to more people, that's also an Isra Mosif, because the object itself now became more Asur. Then, there's also something called an Isra Kolel. An Isra Kolel is where the new circumstance not only includes this item, but now has a broader swath of items that become asurim. So until this point in time, the isur only applied to this item. Now, all of a sudden, the isur applies to other foods as well. Not only is this item asur, but other foods are asur. For instance, if you have something that was asur beforehand, and now Yom Kippurim comes. Yom Kippurim means asur to eat anything. But this item was asur to eat beforehand. That's why it may be called an isur kolel. Which we have here, the basic premise is ein isur chalal isur. And we went through the different exceptions that you can have. You can have batachat, isur mosif, and isur kolel. So now, the question of the Gemara is, what does this Tana hold? If he holds ein isur chalal isur, then you should never be able to stack isurim, and it shouldn't matter which direction you're going in. If you say isur chalal isur, once again, it shouldn't matter which direction, you should be able to add on isurim. So why is our Tana in the Braita specifically say that only when it comes in this order is it asur? So my answer is, Amarava, Aitana, Isur Chalal Isur, lately. He does not allow, in the generic form, one Isur to be stacked on another Isur. Isur Mosif, Idle. On the other hand, when you add on an additional Isur on top of it, it's an Isur Mosif, there he does hold of it. Almana, Asura, the Kohen Gadol. When she was just an Almana, a widow, the only person restricted to her was a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Adyot is Mutar, Israel is Mutar. Visharia, the Kohen Adyot, Kohen Adyot is fine. Havila grusha. After she's a widow, now she marries someone else and becomes a divorcee. Midido is tosif la isura le gabi kohen yojot. He tosif la isura le gabi kohen gadol. Now being a grusha, she's not only a surah, the chaticha now, the woman, the object herself, is no longer just a surah to a kohen gadol. She's now a surah also to a kohen yojot. So the fact that you add on the Kohen Ejot will also add it on to the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol will be restricted in both items. The fact that she's an Almanah and a Grusha, even though it's an Isur, Chalal Isur, because it's an Isur Mosif, now that you've included the Kohen Ejot as well, therefore it's Chal. Vadayin Sharia LeMeichal B'Trumah. But she still is permitted to go back to her father's house and eat truma, meaning that a bat kohen that gets married, as long as she does not have children, if her husband passes away or divorces her, she returns to her father's house to eat truma. So if she's a widow or a divorcee without children, she returns to her father's house to eat truma. But, havyalah chalala, if she becomes a chalala, then migo di dosif yisur lemecha b'truma, then she does not return to her father's house to eat truma anymore. So now there's an additional isur on this woman. Before, she was only restricted from marrying a kohen gadol and a kohen yodot, but she was muteret to eat truma. Now with her status changing to be a chalala as well, she is now restricted from eating truma. Therefore, itosef isura legabe kohen gadol. For a kohen yodot and a kohen gadol, there's another isur that's being added on here, chalala, but it's an isur mosif. That isur mosif allows it to be the chal on the woman. So the woman now, in increasing the number of people or the number of isurim that exist over here, in each case, we'll say that this same woman will have the status and maintain that status of isur. She'll be an amana, a grusha, and a chalala. All of those will apply to her, and therefore, if a kohen gadol now sleeps with this woman, he'll be in violation of all three of these items. Now, obviously, she became a chalala because she had a relationship either with a kohen hejot or a kohen gadol, and that's what made her into a chalala. Elazona, the last of these, how do you have that? My Yisr Mosif Itba. She's already a surat to kohen gadol, to kohen hejot, and to eat shuma. Making her into a zona at this point, what does that do to her that she didn't have before? Meaning that she could have now had an illicit bi'ah with someone that makes her into a zona. But what does that do? Why does that status of zona change anything? She's no more a surah now than she was before, number one. So number two is when the kohen gadol marries her at this point, I understand why he's in violation of amana, grusha, and chalala. I don't see what zona does. There was no mosif over here. There was nothing added. So Rav Chana bar Rav Katina, ho v'shem znut, posel b'Yisrael. It's a very interesting application of Isur Mosif, even though you're right, there's no Isur that was added on over here, but because Zona has broader application outside the world of Kohanim, it is an Isur Mosif from that perspective, which is very interesting. A Chalala, a Grusha, and an Amana have no relevance to Israel. Israel can marry an Amana, he can marry a Grusha, he can marry a Chalala. There is no restriction for marrying them. Zona does have application by a Israel. Not when she has some sort of bi'ah with someone who's pasul that makes her zona, that's also not restricted him. The case is where she's married. If she is married and then she has an illicit affair, she becomes a zona that restricts her to her husband. There, Israel is restricted in zona. So zona has application outside the world of Kohanim. It applies even by Yisraelim. And then by the fact that it applies by Yisraelim, the Gemara deems that to be an Isur Mosif. Even though in this specific instance, it doesn't add anything. But because the Isur of Zona captures a broader swath of individuals when it is in effect, therefore, in this case also, the Zona will be added on as an Isur Mosif. That's explanation of the Braita. We had three cases in the Braita, and now we explain them all. Amana, 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 Grusha, Grusha, Grusha. There, the Gemara is teaching us you only have one, even though she has multiple status of being an amana or being a grusha, because she was married three times and divorced three times, or married three times and widowed three times. Nevertheless, if a kohen gadol sleeps with that amana or a kohen hejot sleeps with that grusha, only chayav once, despite the fact that she gained that title three times over. The other thing we learned is ein isur chalal isur. Therefore, if this woman has a status here of one of these items, amana, grusha, chalala, zona, once they have that status, the other Isur will not apply to her. Ela im kain, it is an Isur Mosif. An Isur Mosif will only apply when you go in order over here, which is you go from Almana to Grusha to Chalala to Zona. So that is why that it teaches you Isur Mosif. From here you can also know that a Zona would be restricted from eating Truma, just like a Chalala is restricted from eating Truma, because otherwise it would be an Isur Mosif in the other direction. Which is that if she was a zona and then became a chalala, the added restriction of truma would make it into an isur mosif. The fact that the Gemara doesn't allow the other direction tells you that a zona is also restricted in truma. And the only way we get the zona to be an isur mosif is that it applies by Israel as well. Tana tana kamei de Rav Sheshet. Bright that is brought down before Rav Sheshet. Kol shu bi'ikach Anything that would be permitted to be taken, they have a restriction of lo yikach. Anything you cannot marry or cannot be taken, enu b'lo yikach, cannot be taken. What Rashi says the pasuk is speaking about is the case of the Kohen Gadol and the permissible marriages of a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, it says, ki im bitula me'amav ikach isha, that he is supposed to take a bitula me'amav as his wife, so there the word ikach. And then it says, he may not take. Amana grusha v'chalala zona, et eila lo ikach. These he may not marry. Ki im bitula me'amav ikach isha. So the word ikach applies to the bitula. Lo ikach applies to the restrictions. What Rashi says the limud is over here, is that if the only problem here is the almana grusha chalala v'zona, meaning that's what made her into a lo yikach, was this status. Had it not been for this status, then she would have been fine for him to marry her. So that's the case when you have an iser of chalala. But in a case where there's a problem besides her being an almana grusha chalala v'zona, then the iser of chalala will not apply, or lo yikach will not be relevant. So this is your question. Prat, the Kohen Gadol, Shebaal Achoto Almana. This excludes the case of a Kohen Gadol that marries an Almana, but it happens to be a sister. So the Almana problem is a problem of Chalala. The sister problem is an Isser Arayot. So now he fails because here, even if she was not an Almana, she would still be Lo Yikach. She would not be Yikach when she wasn't an Almana because it was his sister. So therefore, the Isser of Lo Yikach won't apply to him because he couldn't have taken her anyway had she not been an Almana. That is the limud according to Rashi. Others say that the limud here is simply a logical limud of ein isur chalal isur, that the fact that she's already achuto, almana, can't do anything to change the fact that she was already a achuto. So therefore, ein isur chalal isur. And the lo ikach and ikach is just either an asmachto or it's a memory aid to help you out, but that's not the real limud, but it's clear Rashi thinks that's the real limud. Samalei, Damar Lachmani. Who says that that's the case? Which Tana says this? Remember, this is a braita that's being brought before Rav Sheshet, and he's asking him, who says, who's the author of this position? So it's Rabbi Shimon, Damar, Eini Sur Chalal Isur. Must be Rabbi Shimon who says, Eini Sur Chalal Isur. Therefore, if she was already Asur Mishum Achoto, you can't add on the Isur of Almana. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ha'uchel Nevela B'Yom HaKippurim Patur. Someone who eats a nevela on Yom Kippur is patur. Rashi over here says right away, patur mi karet. Which means, the Isser of Yom Kippur is not chal. Because the Isser nevela existed prior to Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur does not then add on another additional Isser. It was also to eat the nevela irrespective of whether it was Yom Kippur or not. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon who says, ein Isser chal al Isser, there is no Isser Yom HaKippurim over here. Rashi already notes that there's a big problem with this, because it really depends when it became a nevela. If it was a nevela before Yom HaKippurim, then the Isser nevela preceded the Isser of Yom HaKippurim, and I understand why the Isser of Yom Kippur isn't chal. On the other hand, what happens if it became a nevela on Yom Kippur itself? That means the Isser of Yom Kippur preceded the Isser of nevela. So why in that case is Yom Kippur not chal? Rashi gives an answer, which is Rashi the Shittato in the Gemara in Chulin, says, Ve'minit navla b'Yom HaKippurim, Rashi says there was an Isser there beforehand. Prior to being a Nevela, there's an Isser of Eiver Menachai while the animal's alive. So there's an Isser there that existed prior, and therefore Yom HaKippurim can't be Chal on this item because it was already Eiver Menachai before Yom HaKippurim. And so therefore Yom HaKippurim doesn't have the ability to be Chal. That is Rashi the Shittato who believes that an animal that is not Nishchat has an Isser of Eiver Min HaChai. The Isser of Eiver Min HaChai makes the animal asur, and Shechita clears that up. That's Rashi Shita in Chulin. Tosfot in Chulin argues on Rashi and says that Eiver Min HaChai has nothing to do with Shechita. Eiver Min HaChai is an Isser because the animal is alive, and that's only if you break it up in Devarim. It's not an Isser that exists, and Shechita does not clear up that Isser. That Isser goes away when the animal dies. It has nothing to do with Shechita. You could die, and there will be no more Eiver Min HaChai. You don't need Shechita to remove that Isser. Tosfot creates an Isser called Ishachut, something that's not shechted. If the Torah tells you must shecht the animal, that means an animal's not shechted is asur. So therefore, what Tosafot would say, instead of what Rashi says over here, you know why the Isra of Yom Kippur was not chal on this animal? Because this animal had an Isra of Ishachut going into Yom HaKippurim, so it was already a sore because it wasn't shechted. Because the Torah says, v'zavachta v'achalta, you shechted, you eat it. You don't shechted, you don't eat it. So Tosafot calls the Isra Ishachut. That's a machloket Rashi and Tosafot and Chulin as to what Isra exists prior to Shechita. There are other Rishonim that believe there is no Isra whatsoever, and that will present a problem here, because then if they became a Nebela only on Yom Kippur, why doesn't the Isra of Yom Kippur chal? And over here, the Gemara makes no differentiation. There are two alternate answers quoted in the name of the Raivud. One is that the Shi'ur of Nevela, which is a Kezayit, will be chal before the Shi'ur of Yom HaKippurim, which is a Shi'ur Kiketovet Hagasa. And another version which says that, more holistically or generically, the Easter Nevela will be chal on an individual prior to Yom HaKippurim. Because a person is chayav in the mitzvah of Nevela prior to their reaching of Yom Kippur, where that mitzvah starts on that day. So more holistically, Nevela precedes Yom Kippur, and that's why there is no Isra Chalal Isra for both of those reasons. Those reasons are dismissed by the Ramban. There are others that ask on Rashi, even if you believe that the Isra here is Mishum Yisra Eivra Menachai, what happens when the animal dies on Yom Kippur? When the animal dies on Yom Kippur, the Eivra Menachai goes away, and Nevela enters the picture. But at the moment Nevela entered the picture, so did Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur might even have been there first. So that's either Bevat Achat, or that Yom Kippur preceded it, and therefore you should have both Yisurim apply over here. Why is it not a sur for Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur itself? And in Ochanami, that's what the Ramban says. Ramban says that this case is only a case where it's a Nevela before Yom Kippur. If it became a Nevela on Yom Kippur, then the Yisur of Yom Kippur would apply. Now the Ramban might not believe that there's an Isra Min Eivra Min Achai, or it's not applicable, or there's no such thing as Ishachut, meaning that an animal before Shechita doesn't have any Isra associated with it. And therefore, when it dies on Yom Kippur, the Nevela and Yom Kippur come at simultaneously. Since the Bat Achat, they both apply. But the Ramban says exactly that in the end, that there is a difference between whether it was a Nevela before or afterwards, because it makes a difference, meaning that the nature of the Isra is different in that manner. Now Tosfot asks over here, the Gemara here says, oh, this is altered by Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Isur Chalal Isur. But how do you know that Rabbi Shimon doesn't think Isur Mosif works? So it could be here that it's an Isur Mosif, Achoto, that is an Almanah to the Kohen Gadol. Over there it is an Isur Mosif. Because beforehand, the woman was restricted to him because she was his sister. When she becomes an Almanah, she's now restricted to any Kohen Gadol or even the Kohen Meshuach Milchama. Anybody who has the status like a Kohen Gadol cannot marry her. That's an Isur Mosif. So maybe Rabbi Shimon believes Ein Isur Chalas Isur, but he thinks that Isur Mosif applies. So Tosva gives two answers. Yesh Lamar, Zita Breit Acheret, Rabbi Shimon Afilu Isur Mosif lately. Either because we have a Breit and Yivamot that tells us Rabbi Shimon thinks Ein Isur Chalas Isur even the Isur Mosif. So therefore we're clear that up, and that's why it can't be. Or Inami, he says something very interesting. He says, Yesh Lamar, Tahachi Maiti came into Rabbi Shimon lately Isur Chalal Isur, Va'afa Gavda Ezer Chamur Al Isur Kal. Even though in the case of Yom Kippur and Nevela, Yom Kippur is a Chiyuv Karet. Nevela is only a Chiyuv Lav. And yet he says, Ein Isur Chalal Isur, despite the fact that you're upgrading the level of the Isur. So therefore, Hachi Itlan Lameymar, Delele Isur Mosif, Bisur Chalal Isur Chamur. Certainly over here, we should say that when it's an Isur Mosif, when it's a Kal on a Chamur, certainly he would not think that it applies. Meaning that if Rabbi Shimon already tells us, when you upgrade the Isur, it's not applicable, even though by Yom Kippur it's an Isur Kolel and not an Isur Mosif. But nevertheless, he says, if you have an Isur Kolel, but it's not, even it's, and it's an upgraded Isur, it doesn't apply, then certainly by the case of Almanah, Achoto, Lekoin Gadol, over there you're adding an Isur Kal. You're not adding an Isur Chamur, is already, Achoto is correct. Isur Almanah is an Isur Lav. So that, certainly Rabbi Shimon would not think that that's an Isur Mosif. Even if he holds an Isur Mosif in general, he might only hold a Isur Mosif when it's an upgraded Isur. Because there we see by Isur Kola, when it's an upgraded Isur, it doesn't work. So certainly when it's a downgraded Isur, he's not going to hold a Isur Mosif. So those are the two ways that Tosafot deals with it. V'di Rabbonon, Hayamre Isur Chalal Isur. But for the Rabbonon, we know that Isur is Chalal Isur, or even if they think Isur ain't Isur Chalal Isur, they think Isur Mosif works. And if Isur Mosif works, then in the case of Almanah, Achuto, the Kohen Gadol, there's an Isur Mosif when she becomes an Almanah. Afilu teimer rabbanan. Ki amrei rabbanan isurchal in isurchal isurani mili isurchamur al isurchal. Maybe the rabbanan shita is limited to a case when it's an isurchamur al an isurchal. Yom Kippur is karet being layered over a lav. That's when they say isurchal isur. Val isurchal isurchamur lo chayel. But the case of Amana Achoto, there it's a downgraded Isur. He was already Chayav Karet for Achoto. The Amana is an Isur Lav. In that case, they will not say Isur Chalal Isur will make that differentiation. Ika Damre. Some say it the other way around. They say, Hamani, who's the author of this position? Rabbonani, Damre Isur Chalal Isur. Because they say Isur is Chalal Isur. V'chi Amre Rabbonin Isur Chalal Isur, Ani Mili Isur Chamur Al Isur Kal. When do they have that application of Isur Chal Isur? That's only when you have an Isur Chamor layered on top of an Isur Kal. About Isur Kal al Isur Chamor, if you have a lighter Isur that is placed on top of an Isur Chamor, even if it's a Isur Mosif, doesn't matter, it will no Chayil, it will not have application. The Rabbi Shimon, if it's Rabbi Shimon, Ashta Isur Chamor al Isur Kal, lo Chayil, over here Rabbi Shimon says that Karet does not get layered on top of a Lav, Isur Kal, Isur Chamor, Mibayin, in the case of Amana and Kohen Gadol, where you have a lower Isur, an Isur Lav being added on top of an Isur Karet, certainly he will not say it. That's where Tosafot's question comes up. Okay, but he might think it's Isur Mosif. That's where Tosafot says that either this idea of Chamor and Kal eliminates the Isur Mosif, or Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the Isur Mosif, and therefore it's not even a question. Now, Gemara says, Ma'u Dutema. No, maybe it could be Rabbi Shimon, and this is what I would have thought. Isur Kuhuna Shaini. Maybe the Isurim by the Kohanim is different. Meaning, even for Rabbi Shimon, who says, Ein Isur Chalal Isur, maybe by Kohanim, who have extra Isurim in the Torah, we allow for those extra Isurim to be Chal. So Isur Achoto is a Torah generic din. Anybody's sister is restricted to them. Almana is a specific din by Kehuna. And maybe by Isur Kehuna, we will say Isur Chalal Isur, because by their nature, they're unique Isurim, because they only apply to Kohanim. And since they apply to Kohanim, Kohanim have extra Isurim, maybe those Isurim can be layered on top of generic Isurim. Kamash Malan, that Rabbi Shimon says, Ein Isur Chal Isur, period. And that's why even if Rabbi Shimon was the author of this position, it would be a Chidush. So for that, we don't have who's the author of this position. It could work either according to the Rabbanan or according to Rabbi Shimon. Amalei Rapapa Le'abayi. Israel Abal Achoto. Israel that has a relationship with his sister. Zona Mishabila. He definitely makes sure to know zonah, because that's an illicit relationship that generates a zonah. Chalala mishavila or lo mishavila. Does he make her into a chalala or not? Mi amrina and kal v'chomer, mi chayve lavin, havi a chalala, mi chayve kreito, t'lo koshike. The Gemara is saying, maybe it's a kal v'chomer. If an isur lav, which is the isur kuna, generates a chalala, then isur karet should certainly generate a status of chalala. Now, what does that do for you? If she's already a zonah, she's already a surah to the Kohen, then her adding on to be a chalala doesn't change it. I think she's already a surah to the Kohen. The answer to that is, this is bevata achat, and if she's both a chalala and a zonah, a Kohen who sleeps will be in violation of both zonah and chalala. Odilma, ain chalala elar mi isur kuna, what you guys are all saying, maybe chalala is only applicable by isurei kuna. Amalei, ain chalala elar mi isur kuna bilvad. That's what we already concluded, basically, in the first half of today's daf, which is chalala is only a product of a situation that involves a kohen. Amarava minahan milta damar abonan ein chalala misur kuna. Where is the derivation of this din? Meaning that the Gemara already took that for granted on the previous amud that a chalala only comes from isurei kuna. But how does it know that? Where did they get that from? The Tanya lo yomar grusha b'kohen gadol. By a Kohen Ejot, it tells us the restrictions of a Kohen Ejot about who he's not allowed to marry. It says, Isha, Zona, Vichalala, Loikachu, Visha, Grusha, Misha, Loikachu, Kikadoshu, Lelukav. There are three women that he's restricted in. Zona, Chalala, and Grusha. You go to the Kohen Gadol, and it says, Amana, Grusha, Vichalala, Zona, it's Ela, Loikach. So it gives list three, four items. The only one that is different than a Kohen Ejot is an Almana. So why did the Torah have to mention Grusha, Chalala, and Zona by a Kohen Gadol? Why? It's a Kal V'Chomer. If a Kohen Ejot is restricted in them, then certainly a Kohen Gadol is. V'ana Amina. Hashta the Kohen Ejot Asura. If they're restricted to a Kohen Ejot, the Kohen Gadol mi baye. You have to tell me about a Kohen Gadol. Lama Nemra. So then why does the Torah repeat by the Kohen Gadol Grusha, Chalala, and Zona? Now, truthfully, this is probably not a Kal V'Chomer, but rather, A Kohen Gadol is just a Kohen Hedjot plus. A Kohen Gadol was once a Kohen Hedjot, and after being a Kohen Hedjot, he got upgraded to a Kohen Gadol. So you don't even need a Kal V'chomer to tell you that a Kohen Gadol is a surah in these women, because he was once a Kohen Hedjot. If he's a Kohen Hedjot, he's restricting his women, even when he becomes a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is not a Kohen Hedjot. He's a Kohen Hedjot, plus he's an upgrade from a Kohen Hedjot. So you don't even need the Kal V'chomer in the literal sense of a Kal V'chomer. It's because he's a Kohen Hedjot. There are Rishonim who want to suggest that the scenario here was a case where he became a Kohen Gadol immediately. Meaning that he was never a Kohen Hedjot. They made him to the Kohen Gadol right as he turned Bar Mitzvah. He became the Kohen Gadol and he was never a Kohen Hedjot. So then you would need the Kal V'chomer because he was never a status of Kohen. That would make me a reason why you would need a real Kal V'chomer rather than just saying he is a Kohen Hedjot plus. Now the Gemara explains this. K'shem chaluka grusha mizona v'chalala b'Kohen Hedjot. Just like grusha is differentiated from a zona and chalala by the Kohen Hedjot, kach chaluka b'Kohen Gadol. So too, it is differentiated by the Kohen Gadol. It says, Pshita Migra Goro, which is, here by the Kohen Hedjot, it says, Isha Zona V'Chalala Lo Ikachu, Isha Grusha Misha Lo Ikachu. So it segregates Grusha from Zona V'Chalala. So there you would say, just like Grusha is another Isur, so too, all the Isurim here are additional Isurim, which according to Rashi means, that you will get malkot for each isur that applies over here. Every isur that applies, you will get an isur for that. That's what it means, chalukah, that they are separate or distinct. In that manner is that you'll get malkot for each one of them. The Gemara says, what's the question here? Just like a grusha is a separate entity by a Kohen Hedjot, so too by a Kohen Gadol, a grusha is a separate entity. The Gemara says, pshita, what do you need to tell me that by a Kohen Gadol, migra gora? Just because he became a Kohen Gadol, all of a sudden now, grusha is not a separate isur? Why would you think otherwise? Again, he's a Kohen Hedjot plus. Whatever applies by a Kohen Hedjot should apply by a Kohen Gadol. Ella, k'shem shechaluka grusha mizona v'chalala b'Kohen Hedjot. Just like grusha is distinct from a zona and chalala in the Kohen Hedjot, kach almana chaluka migrusha v'chalala zona b'Kohen Gadol. So too, the almana is considered to be a separate isur by the Kohen Gadol. So just like by the Kohen Hedjot, grusha is segregated to teach you that each Isur here is a separate Isur. When you apply that to the Kohen Gadol, then that also means that Almanah is separate. Grusha, Chalala, and Zonah, he already knows from Kohen Hedjot. The only additional Isur there is Almanah. Then what the Grusha teaches you, the addition of Grusha by the Kohen Gadol teaches you, every Isur here is separate. Chalala, Lama, Nemra. Why is the word Chalala mentioned by the Kohen Gadol? So now, remember, Almanah is the only thing that's new by the Kohen Gadol. Grusha, Chalala, and Zonah were all mentioned by Kohen Hedjot. Now we explain why the word grusha is repeated by Kohen Gadol to teach you. Just like by the Kohen Hedjot, grusha is a separate isur, so too by the Kohen Gadol, not only is grusha a separate isur, but so is almanah. All these isurim are separate. Now the word chalala and zonah, why are they repeated by the Kohen Gadol? So chalala namin erma, ain chalala le mi isur kuna. The word chalala comes to teach you that there's only a chalala from isur kuna. Here is your source for that fact. Now, it's not just the fact that it says the word chalala, but rather it has to do with the way they are juxtaposed, which says, listen to the pasuk. It says, Almanah grusha v'chalala then zonah. So what is it telling you? Almanah and grusha produce a chalala. Zonah doesn't have anything to do with chalala. So that's what the Torah is telling you, is that the preface to chalala is Almanah and grusha, which are isurei kuna. The isurei kuna produce a chalala. And that's what the extra word chalala by the Kohen Gadol teaches you. Then what is zona laman emra? Why is the word zona repeated by the Kohen Gadol? Nemrakan zona, nemra la lan zona. It says zona over here, it says zona over there. Makan zoro chulin, af la halan zoro chulin. Just like over here, his offspring are chulin. By the Kohen Gadol, that is the source for the pasuk of basically chalalim. Which is, v'lo yichalel zaro bi'amav. That's written after the psukim of the Kohen Gadol. After it says he may not marry these women, it says, v'lo yichalel zaro bi'amav. So that teaches you that his offspring are michulalim, that they are kohanim chalalim. By Kohen Hedjot, you don't have such a pasuk. How do I know by Kohen Hedjot it applies as well? Zona, zona. Gzeir shava. Zona is mentioned by Kohen Gadol, which is unnecessary. Zona is mentioned by Kohen Hedjot. Makan zaro chulin, aflalan zaro chulin. The same product of this illicit marriage of a Kohen Gadol to any of these women, which produces a Kohen Chalal, so too the Kohen Hedjot with any of these women will also produce a Chalal. Amar Rav Ashi Hilkach. Therefore, Kohen Abalachuto, a Kohen who has bia with his sister, Zona Mishavila, Chalala Lo Mishavila. He makes her into a Zona, he does not make her into a Chalala. Chazaru Baleha, Asa Chalala. He has a second bia with her, he makes her into a Chalala. The first bia, what is the restriction in marrying his sister the first time is that she's his sister. It's not a Kohanic restriction. It's simply a restriction that it's his sister. Therefore, if he has bia with her, he makes her into a zona, not a chalala. The second time he has bia with her, she is now restricted to him for two reasons. One is because she's achoto. The second reason is that she is a zona. So now, when he has bia with her the second time, he will make her into a chalala. Because in that instance, he's not only sleeping with a problematic achoto, which makes her a zona, he's sleeping with a zona. And a zona is an Isur Kuna that creates a chalala. So that in the second bia, he makes her into a chalala. Obviously, this assumes that a Kohen who bala choto, the Isur of zona, applies on top of the Isur of achoto. So the fact that Isur zona applies on top of choto, once you have that, then in the second bia, he'll make her into a chalala. The first Isur is an Isur irrespective of the Kohen, or his status as a Kohen. The second restriction comes about because he is a Kohen. So the first bia creates a zona. The second bia creates a chalala. So now the Gemara will continue in tomorrow's daf to discuss the possibility of how many malkut you get in these cases. And again, Rashi states over here, when the Gemara says to us that there are multiple Isurim by the Kohanim, that you get multiple malkut. That is the view of Rashi, that the Isur can be piled on top of each other, so that in the case you will get four malkiot. In a case where she is an almanah, grusha, zona, v'chalala, you'll get four sets of malkot. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that the Gemara is not telling you that you'll get multiple malkot over here, but rather telling you that this is not an Isur Kolel. That an Isur Kolel is when you have one Isur that incorporates multiple Isurim. This would be a classic case of an Isur Kolel, which is that you have almanah, grusha, chalala, zona, lo ikach. So lo ikach applies to all of those individuals. That would make it into an Isur Kolel, you would not get malkot. What the Limud comes to teach you is, Grusha, Grusha teaches you that each one of them is independent. It's as if it says, Almana lo ikach, Grusha lo ikach, Chalala lo ikach, Zona lo ikach, and it's not considered to be an Isur Kolel. So for the Rambam, if you sleep with a woman who has these multiple Isurim, you still only get one set of Malkot, because it's all one lav, lo ikach. But it's not an Isur Kolel where you won't get any Malkoyot. According to Rashi, the point of the Gemara is telling you that each one is a separate violation that will result in Malkot for each one of those violations. So that's a Machloket Rashi and Rambam about the Gemara that we read today, as to whether the Grusha that teaches you that they're all separate, does that teach you that you get Malkot for each violation, or does it teach you that you get Malkot at all for any of the violations, because otherwise it would have been an Isur Kolel. Okay, we're going to stop here on the second line on the top of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph.